This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
You're listening to Betting Weekly Major League Soccer on the BetRivers Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome on into the MLS Betting Weekly podcast, your go-to destination for all things Major League Soccer. I'm your host, Thomas Viola, and joining me, as always, he's back. It's my boy, Taylor Wilson. Taylor, we missed you on the midweek slate, rode solo, but glad to have you back here. And you were not coming to us from Bogota today, the Pablo Escobar of parlays in the city that never sleeps right now.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I apologize to the listeners missing out on the midweek action, having to leave you just with the wonderful plays and the wonderful soothing tones of Thomas Viola. But looks like, Tom, you might be in the green here on what's usually a very hard thing to cap, which is midweek MLS action. How'd you do?
Taylor, we came so microscopically close. We were first off, I predicted FC Cincinnati to upset New York City. They're up 3-0 in the first half, and that game falls apart. New York comes back, takes the 4-3 lead. Cincy battles back, ties it up, and actually scores a late-game winner that gets called back for offsides, which was crazy. Absolutely brutal. And we end up not cashing that one. I went 3-4 down one unit in total. However, Atlanta, we're recording this on Thursday, and there are two Thursday night games tonight. If Atlanta goes over versus New York, we will absolutely be positive for the week. So I'll carry all that over into next week. I'm not worried. I think it's going to end up being a pretty great week. All in all, right now, 50-60 up one unit. I think that's going to be a couple more once our round robin parlay cashes its third leg tonight with Atlanta. But right now, we have a huge 4th of July weekend slate to get into. And before we do that, we want to remind you about our sponsor here, BetRivers. Head on over to BetRivers.com. Set yourself up with an account today. Use the code 250MATCH and BetRivers will match your first deposit up to $250. So get in on the action and ride with us, Taylor. Let's ride right into our first game here. And we're going to stick with Atlanta. Yes, they play tonight. We won't know the outcome of that game. And by the time you hear this, it will most likely be over. But New York City versus Atlanta on Saturday here. And let's pull up some odds real quick because we are going to have New York at -167, Atlanta United +410, and the draw +320. Atlanta, they're going to be on the second game of this road trip here in the tri-state area. Well, not here for me, but here for you right now in the tri-state area. And yet you're going to miss both of those games. Taylor, I don't want any part of this New York City team right now. The reason that I thought Cincinnati could beat them, and quite frankly should have beaten them, they put up a 4 spot in what was really a 5 spot. This team is not playing that great. Castellanos was in a little bit of a slump. Yes, they were able to put 4 goals back up on the board. They're not playing inspired ball right now, and I genuinely think that I have to pass on this one as far as picking a side here. I'm going to go over 2.5, though, because Atlanta has been an over team. Their defense has been very shoddy. New York's got an extra day of rest on them. If you want to play the win and over together for +123, be my guest. I'm going to lay the juice on this over. It's -175. I may actually even wait for this game to go to 3 and take it at a better payout with the push protection on the 3 goals, because this one could have 4 or 5 in it.
Yeah, a little bit stumbly here in the midsummer months as the caretaker interim manager era rolls on for NYC, a bit transitory for them right now. I still think they'll figure most of this out when push comes to shove. Still one of the better teams in the league. Maybe they're not in that top tier as LAFC continues to rise and rise and rise some more, and we'll get to them here a little bit later. But we have the exact same read here, Tom. I'm absolutely looking in the over markets. I mean, you're talking about an Atlanta team. We're recording this before this Red Bulls game here tonight, but this is an Atlanta team with 9 of their last 10 hitting over 2.5 coming into that game on the Thursday night. So just about as reliable of a team as you can find for overs right now. There are a couple of plays this week where it's like, do not overthink it. Look yourself in the mirror, you know, do the whatever kind of pep talk you have to give yourself to not overthink these. You mentioned the same game parlay. Do not let me do that, Tom. I'm trying to stay away from all that. I'm trying to just go over. The only difference here is I'm going to go over 2.75. I know you're not a huge quarter ball guy. I just want to give myself a little bit more value, especially since the price, as you mentioned, is there in the minus 170s at time of recording. You can do over 2.75 at minus 129. That's a much more reasonable number here. And if over 2.5 hits, which as we say, 90% of the time over the past couple of months, it has for Atlanta United, you're doing really well there and it's helping your unit management as well. You know, if it hits right at three, that's still in the positive. For those that aren't aware of what quarter ball is, you're playing 1, 2.5, over 2.5 and 1 over 3. So you'd push the three, you'd go over 2.5. You're still making money on that play. And if it goes even higher, which it very well can always go 4+ with Atlanta, you're making all of that money anyway on a minus 129 price. So only difference for us here, I'm going a little bit more aggressive at over 2.75, but I love an over 2.5. I don't mind an over 3 either. If you want to go even more aggressive than myself, Tom.
Yeah, I'm going to wait. The over 3 market is going to be there. This line is going to make that move. But you talked about some of these plays. Don't overthink it. I definitely overthought some of these that we're going to get to here in a bit because I noticed that it was getting a little bit too chalky for my taste while I was picking out some of these numbers. So I might have a couple zags where other people are zigging here. But we'll get on to that with the next couple of games here because the next game up right now, we have Philadelphia versus the Columbus Crew. Crew plus 145 at home, the Union plus 210 on the road, and the draw at 2-1. Philly lost a bad road midweek game to Chicago right after beating NYCFC last weekend. So is Philly back? Do you chalk up the midweek losses, MLSB and MLS? Maybe. They did not look very good in that game. Chicago dominated the whole way through. But this team is 14th in the league on road XG, 7th in the league on road XGA, and that's a good thing, not a bad thing. Columbus 25th at home in XGA, which is also really good, and 7th at home in expected goals. Despite that, Columbus has fared very poorly at home. They're 24th in the league, while Philly is 8th on the road. The under is very chalky here at minus 152, but Columbus hasn't scored in 3 of their last 5 games. Ultimately, I think I have to just not overthink it, though, and take the Philly road price of plus 210 and say that they're not going to drop another game like the Chicago game.
Yeah, completely, however you phrased it, completely outclassed or outdominated by Chicago Fire is not a quote you want to hear about your team, really, in any context. A really tough result there midweek for Philly, a team that, Tom, you and I have both kind of been hinting at maybe this team is actually not quite what we thought they were in preseason. Maybe they're not the same team of the past couple of years. I assumed in preseason this would be the year they take a step forward. Their DPs haven't been good enough. They don't have enough pizzazz. They don't have enough individual sexy goal scorers. Some of the system stuff still works. We've mentioned the pressing stats. We've mentioned kind of how they like to play. And I do like a team with a specific identity, but if you're not getting the results, then really who cares? As far as Columbus, I'll just say this, like this has been a team I've faded a lot this year. It's possible the worst of the Crew season is behind them just because they're getting Zilarayan back. They've actually gotten him back already. And now Cucho Hernandez comes in, probably not going to play this game. I would say maybe wait for the lineups here just as a, you know, that could be a huge factor. This is a guy in his Watford debut, Tom, scored an absolute banger of a goal. So, you know, when he comes in, he could make an immediate impact for a Columbus attack that desperately needs it. I think it's probably going to be another week before he comes in, but we'll see. Take a look at those lineups because that's kind of an interesting factor here. I hit a draw at plus 270 last week, Tom. And this, you know, MLS draws is not something I've done a whole lot of in the show. It's something that has been pretty reliable for Philadelphia Union this season. I'm going to try that here at a 2-1 price. Draw plus 200. You know, it's one of these plays where it's like someone who's not used to betting soccer would be like, you're betting a tie? Like, what are you doing? But it feels reasonable here. And it's one of those where the draw market, Tom, we talk about this a lot. Those prices are typically inflated because people don't like betting draws. The public is not going to push that number the wrong way very often. Now, knockout competitions, things like the Champions League, that's a different animal. But when we're talking about a league like Major League Soccer, the draw market, you tend to have some real diamonds in the rough on those prices. That's my thinking here. So go and draw 2-1. Let's try it.
I don't hate that play at all. Philly's been a draw machine, and I actually bet the Columbus draw versus Toronto this weekend. We almost got there. Columbus pulled it out 2-1, but I like both of these teams to the draw. I may actually have to change my play here and go agreement with you, because you're getting the same payout. And I don't know that it's will the real Philadelphia please stand up? We don't know who this team is supposed to be. I think I like that. I'm officially changing over to the draw play here.
All right. Welcome aboard.
The next game up is the New England Revolution versus FC Cincinnati. The Revs are -195 at home. FCC +475 on the road, and the draw at +335. The total in this game is a sky high 3.5 goals, +133 to the over. This is a strict reaction to the goal fest that was FCC versus NYCFC. But I'll tell you, I'm staying away from the total here. I don't really want to bet that under the 3.5, although it's probably going to come through. It's very heavily juiced, but I love Cincy being good. They're fourth in the league on the road, and they're catching almost 5-1 here. This is a Revs team that, yeah, they're unbeaten in their last five home games, 2 wins, 3 draws, but the last five overall, which same record, are against Vancouver, a draw, Minnesota, a win, Orlando, a draw, SKC, a win, and Philly, a draw. That's not stellar. It's not bad. There's some bad teams in there, but it's not the worst resume. And they beat Cincy 3-2 in Cincinnati on May 21st. So there you go. There's another case for the over. But honestly, I'm more impressed with what Cincy has done that since then. Give me the FCC at +475 here. If we can cash our second almost 5-1 ticket of the year, I'll be thrilled.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is a Viola Wilson agreement week, folks. So full warning there ahead of time, it's looking like. But I agree. This is just a classic case where the price is wrong. I think I maybe view this a little bit more as a kind of pure coin flip, could go either way situation. But in MLS, especially when, you know, I'm continuing the strategy of a lot of, you know, fairly heavily juiced over 2.5s, a couple of kind of more reasonable money line plays. If you can combine those kinds of moves with 2 or 3 of these where it's like, I think this could go either way. And if it could go either way and you're getting 5-1, you're taking the 5-1 in this league any day of the week. You see these prices with road dogs a lot. I agree. I don't know if I'm quite as bullish on Cincinnati. I still think there are real defensive issues, right? Like a lot of these games, you mentioned what happened in midweek. I do think this is a bit of an overreaction. And we're going to see a few of these as we go on through the show today, where it's like, it seems like the books are overreacting to what is just, you know, often chaos in MLS when they have these 2 or 3 games in 8 or 9 day windows. I think this is a similar situation here. I'm also not a huge Revs guy in terms of the betting plays this year, same, especially here in the post-Buxa, post-Matt Turner era. I just think this is a completely reasonable play. I had it locked in right at a true +500, Tom. It's clearly moving the wrong direction. So the moment you see this, listener, viewer, I would pound Cincinnati. I think, you know, that's a great way. Look, we talk about tough records, but getting saved with 1 or 2 unit plays. This could be that move this week, Tom. So Cincy +500 for me. I love this. I think it's still a great creating team. You know, one of the best key pass teams in the league, one of the best assist making teams in the league. You know, and New England's not great defensively either. So yeah, price is just wrong. Let's go Cincy.
Absolutely. This next game up here, Sporting Kansas City hosting the New York Red Bulls. And let me tell you, I could use a Red Bull. I woke up a little sluggish this morning, but the Red Bulls are +155 as road favorites here. Slight road favorites, +163 to the Cincy side, to the Sporting Kansas City side, and the draw at +250 here. And I'm going Red Bulls all the way. Don't look now, though. But New York is winless in their last 3 road games. They went on that early season run that still has them second in the road table. And we were talking about how dominant this team was on the road. But if you look at overall form, New York is still in much better shape. Sporting Kansas City has scored just 3 times in the last 4 games. 2 of those games were shutout losses, including a 1-0 home loss to Vancouver. By the way, I'm not counting 6-0 over Omaha in the Open Cup. I'll take a nice +155 here on New York to get off the road schneid.
Yeah, we full agreement. I think that's a solid plus price for the Red Bulls here, especially a Red Bulls team that, you know, earlier this year showed incredible away form. And I still have some trust in them. KC is not an easy place to play, sort of a slept on environment. But I still, you know, it's a weird season for Sporting where at this point they're into the semifinals of, you mentioned, the U.S. Open Cup, some of that scheduling luck. It would be hilarious if they go out and still get silverware in this year that's been just slammed by injuries. And, you know, they might end up being one of the 3 or 4 worst teams in MLS. But yeah, I think in this situation,
you just have to take the better team at a solid plus price. It's another, this is one of two or three don't overthink it plays for me, Tom, this week.
Yeah. And, you know, it would be hilarious to see SKC win, but I really want to see Sacramento hoisting the Open Cup at the end of the year. Give us a USL side here. The next game up, we're going to head back up the board for a minute, going to Toronto versus Seattle. Toronto hosting is plus 165 dogs. Seattle, another road favorite here at plus 135 and the draw plus 280. And I'm getting aggressive. I'm upset that Seattle lost that Montreal game, but credit to Montreal where it's due. They played a great game and got a good win. But I'm going Seattle plus 135 and the over 2.5 at minus 167. Parlay them together for plus 280, which is really aggressive. But I'm also taking both as individual plays. This is a three-play game for me here. Full fade of Toronto. This defense is paper mache. Both teams played in the midweek, and while Seattle, again, had that tough loss, I feel good about that, about their ability to bounce back versus a Toronto team that won't have Insigne until July 9th. The only thing to watch out for here, Seattle's got the worst road XGA in the league. That's concerning to me about this team, but it makes me feel pretty good about that overplay, which I'll probably put a little bit more on to counteract any potential losses on the Seattle side.
Yeah, I mean, I look, you talk about a midweek. I mean, like, there were a few of these in this MLS midweek, Tom, where it's like, what in the world is happening? You and I had both started to think that maybe Montreal is fading a little bit going into the second half of the season. And right as that happens, they go to Seattle. Not only that, Tom, a game where you get a Jomo goal in the third minute, you know, place is going nuts. It's under the lights. And somehow Montreal builds their way back into that game and gets a really impressive road win. And it was comprehensive. Like, Seattle put some shots on target. They did some of the things that you expect the Sounders to do at home, but Montreal just figured it out. They out XG'd them. They outscored them. They won that game in a really impressive fashion. So credit to the Impact, the former Impact, I should say, in that spot, as I still, you know, go San Jose Clash, etc. This is just a situation though, Tom, as the Sounders go to Toronto, where it's another for me, don't overthink it. You're going more aggressive. You know, I have a couple of slightly more aggressive plays this week. I'm sorry for those that don't like laying juice. I'm sorry also to those who are used to only betting, say, the English Premier League, where you would never lay in the minus 160s or almost never on an over 2.5. But that's what I'm doing here. I think it's a very basic play and a very simple play and one that'll make me money. You have to continue to fade this Toronto defense. I also, you know, that's a Sounders game midweek where they didn't have Rui Diaz and they still were able to create a lot. Like, you know that the Sounders team can get it done. I think they probably hit this over on their own. And no matter what, I think you're getting it over 2.5. So minus 167, over 2.5. You know, I get if you want to go more aggressive, you have the Thomas Viola special right there, folks.
I'll tell you, this Toronto team is going to get even better to the total when Insigne joins, and they still have no defense, but they're scoring goals like crazy. That's those games are going to be 3.5 just standards at that point, and they're still going to go over, I think.
Yeah, but totally.
In this game, yeah. The funny thing with MLS, it's the juju that gets involved. When you have the first game of the slate goes weird, which the NYCFC FC Cincinnati game was absolutely that, all the other games on the slate like to follow suit, and it's always a weird result at the end of the day. But fortunately, I was able to save myself. I also in-game some LAFC money in that one, in their game against Dallas when they were tied 1-1. And that worked out very much in my favor. But that's going to bring us to our next game here, LAFC versus Vancouver. And LA is even money here as the road favorite. A couple road favorites this week that we all like, coincidentally. Vancouver plus 240 in the draw, plus 275. The over 2.5 and minus 162, LA could get there on their own, but oh yeah, this is going to be an LA game. I'm taking them even money.
Yeah, full agreement. This is one of those things where it's like, you cannot leave LAFC money on the table at this point. And they're only going to keep getting better as the summer and the season goes on. You know, I think anything even, anything plus, you're almost blindly taking it for LAFC. I mean, there are a few road spots where that may not be the case, but this is a team that, look, Vancouver, give them credit. Like, they've overcome some real injuries and they only have one loss in their last five, but their last result, that 0-0 against New England Revolution, I think is a little bit more who they are. No disrespect, but that's kind of what you would expect from Vancouver at home. So usually I'm looking for an underplay for them, actually, a rare MLS underplay. unfortunately, you cannot do that with LAFC coming to town. You're absolutely right. LA could and probably will get there on their own in this spot. I think that's a pretty solid prediction. But you have to take these kinds of LA prices while you can get them. I think they're going to get worse as the season goes on. You know, a lot of these games, we talked about the futures market a few weeks ago. You can look at these game prices as well, thinking about how they're going to be adjusted as the season goes on. Chiellini and Gareth Bale are about to join LAFC. In fact, they might only be a week away from their debut in an El Tráfico that could be like one of the most watched MLS games in years, Tom, at least in the regular season. So that's going to be really fun. That's not this week. That's a week away. But LA is currently assembled. Is fantastic as well. I guess you could maybe make just devil's advocate the argument that this is a trap game for them, you know, on the road. They're looking ahead to that super hyped fixture next week. But I think even then, it's like the difference between maybe them winning by three and winning by one, and it's a little bit cagier. I think they get it done. I don't need to touch the totals market. You're getting an even price on LAFC, Tom. Take that when you can. We're in full agreement here.
Yeah, those are going to be few and far to come by. And I agree. I think that this is going to be the largest, the most watched El Tráfico since the Zlatan debut. So we will see. It's going to be a fun one, and we'll see what LA can do the rest of the season with them in the with Bale and Chiellini in the fold. But let's talk about the San Jose Earthquakes versus the Chicago Fire here. Last game that we're going to get to on the video slate today, the Quakes are plus 104 at home, the Fire plus 235 on the road, and the draw plus 265. Yeah, the Fire coming off that great win over Philly and feeling good, but the Quakes just got a long break to regroup, which they desperately needed with no Cali Classico being played this week, last weekend, due to the Fires knocking out the Power at Stanford. San Jose, low-key, still just has one home loss this season. A lot of draws, which could sink us here, but Chicago, fortunately, is going to help us out because they've only got one win and two draws away from home this season. So I'm going to take the Quakes at even money in this spot, Taylor.
Will the Fire knock out the Quakes' attacking power here as well, Tom? Next up, am I right? Yeah, I wanted to defer to you, as always, for our weekly San Jose Earthquakes corner. You know, the first thing I'm always thinking for Quakes at home is over, maybe even both teams to score. You compare both teams to score to over, look at those prices. The problem is it's the Chicago Fire. Like, that's just not a team that I want to be taking overs on really ever. Some of the Fire have weird away expected goal numbers where, like, they're the fourth best away XG team in the Eastern Conference. I have no idea how to make sense of that. I'm going to choose to ignore it and not put too much stock into it because we see what this team actually does in terms of the scoring goals department. Yes, by the way, credit to them. Any Fire fans watching with, you know, fist clenched, like, give us credit for something that good that happened with the Fire getting that win over Philadelphia Union in midweek. We're just looking at it as a negative for Philly and not a positive for Chicago. So credit to the Fire there. They're absolutely going to bounce back to reality here. I think this is a solid spot for the Quakes, a Quakes team that only has one win in the last eight. Neither of these teams are particularly good, you know, and I still would love to be talked into something maybe in a over or team goals, San Jose kind of bet, that kind of thing. But all those prices are prohibitive. Both teams to score is in the minus 180s, and you wouldn't want to do that with Chicago necessarily anyway. So you're getting a plus price on, I think, a slightly better team and certainly a better team when they're at home in these kinds of spots, San Jose. So not one of my favorite plays of the week. I could see some weirdness happening here, but give me San Jose plus 105.
San Jose is very much like the Houston Dynamo, which is weird because I can't think of any possible relationships between those two teams. They beat up bad teams at home. They're reliable to get that job done. Much more than that, you're asking a little too much of them. I think that they can do the job here, even with that win over Philly in the midweek. I think Chicago is going to be a little tired. I think that was kind of their big game for right now. And San Jose will be able to get this one done. But Taylor, that is going to do it for us on the video slate here. We still have plenty more games to get to, though, including a four-game 4th of July slate. So for our audio viewers, you guys are going to stick around. Our video listeners, please head on over to the podcast platform of your choice and check out the full show there. Guys, it has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for watching. I'm TV at Work. He's ATLT Will. You can follow us on Twitter there. And of course, follow at Bet Rivers and the at BRN Podcast Network for all of our great breakdowns of pretty much every betting event under the sun. And don't forget to head on over to BetRivers.com and sign up today. Get yourself an account and get in on the action. For our audio listeners, we'll ride along with you here. And for our video viewers, well, Good luck this weekend. Enjoy the 4th of July, and we will catch you guys next week. All right, Taylor, let's continue on here with the audio portion of our show. And Minnesota versus RSL is going to be our next game up here. Minnesota United coming off that big win over LA, over the LA Galaxy, plus 118. Real Salt Lake, they are plus 205 road dogs in this spot, and plus 260 is the price on the draw. I mean, Minnesota dropped three straight before taking down the Galaxy yesterday. They've been frustrating the handicap. RSL's looked good lately, but they're taking advantage of a very soft schedule right now. Their defense has been solid aside from a 2-1 loss to Vancouver. They haven't conceded more than a goal in a game since Nashville on May 8th. So I don't think the over's a play here, but Minnesota, they haven't really lit up the scoreboard either. I'd lean under at even money in this one, but honestly, no official play on two teams that I'm not sure I have sussed out.
I didn't even think about the under, but I don't mind that play at all, actually. First of all, everything you said about Minnesota, spot on. We've kind of been wondering all year sort of where the goal is going to come from, where's the creation going to come from. Emmanuel Reynoso has maybe answered some of those questions. That crazy, just insane midweek game with the LA Galaxy that finishes 10-9. Over an hour in that game, the Galaxy had 10 men. So I don't know how much we want to, you know, put into that. But, you know, Reynoso, for a guy who's already third in MLS in key passes, if he's going to be scoring goals as well, that is a good sign for a Minnesota team that really needed a guy like that, you know, a reliable attacking player, both goal scoring and in the creation department. But this just feels to me like, I mentioned this on a couple other games, just an overreaction to midweek craziness. I mean, that was just pure chaos in the Galaxy game. And suddenly the books are like, well, maybe Minnesota United is better than Real Salt Lake. They're not. We have a much bigger sample size for RSL this year, knowing that RSL is a better team. RSL is also, by the way, coming off of no midweek action, whereas Minnesota United is going to be traveling back halfway across the country after an exhausting sort of emotionally and physically game in Los Angeles. I just think all roads point to an RSL upset here in terms of what the book is saying. RSL still a fourth best away expected goal difference per 90 in MLS, literally the best road team on points per game with 6 wins and 2 draws. So I just think the price is wrong here. Plus 210 RSL. Let's get it done.
Yep. I don't think that you're necessarily, I don't think you're necessarily wrong here. I could definitely see them winning this game. You're right. The Galaxy were playing with 10 men. I'm just a little worried about that schedule that Minnesota has had, that RSL has had here, but I think they should be able to get this done on the road. I'm still going to say lean under, no official play for me here, but more power to you. I don't disagree with anything that you just said there, Taylor. The next game up on the board here that we have, Nashville versus the Timbers. Nashville minus 118, Portland plus 310, and the draw plus 260 here. And that's what I have to say here. Portland needed the win against the Dynamo in a big way. Their roster isn't as great as they have been in years past, but I was actually talking with the Fox Soccer's John Strong yesterday, slight name drop, and he thinks that this team could be rounding a corner. They've got 2 back-to-back quality wins now. They head on the road to play a Nashville team that we like a lot, but has some poor results lately. This is my only other no play of the slate. I'm going to lean Portland at 3-1 here, honestly.
Wow. Yeah. So this is our first, I would say, full disagreement of the week.
I'm sorry to cut you off here, but this fully might be me saying I'm taking too much chalk and needing to mix it up. It might be me overthinking it, but lean 3-1 Portland.
So 3 unbeaten, 2 wins in a row. Shout out to the Colombian Santiago Moreno finally showing some scoring life for them. I think that's a big positive for Portland. The 3-0 win over Colorado was comprehensive. That was a very impressive game. We know what Colorado is on the road, though, and they got super out XG'd in the other 2 games. I mean, I don't know if they can really replicate what they did in those other 2. Nashville, they are coming off of a kind of draining midweek cup loss to Orlando on penalties. Before that, comprehensively beat DC last week in an MLS, and I still like Nashville more often than not to beat bad teams. You know, this is a team that has at times seemed more comfortable on the road than at home. That'll happen when you play your first dozen games or so on the road to start out the season, waiting for your new stadium. But I still like that front two. I like the back line. I think they're organized, and I think they can beat bad teams. And I don't really mind this price necessarily at minus 118, and I'm not there yet with Portland. I know there's a lot of people like the first signs of life with Portland because they do this often, slow out the gate, figure it out as the season goes on. You know, there is a little bit of a rumbling in MLS corners right now where it's like, well, maybe Portland's coming out of the funk just a little bit. I'm not sure I'm quite there yet. I'm not sure I'm quite there yet with the Timbers. I mentioned them kind of getting some, you know, taking their chances, luck, if you want to call it that, in two of those last three games. It's certainly been the brightest few weeks for Portland on their season so far, but I'm not quite there. I can understand where you're at on the price, but I'm just going to take Nashville minus 118.
You know, I I don't necessarily hate what you're talking about here. I don't hate any of the logic that you used. I might be a little too high on Portland right now and maybe giving them a little too much benefit of the doubt, especially because we like this Nashville team. I do like them a lot. I think the price just might be wrong here, and that's why I lean Portland 3-1. But again, not trying to say that I think you're in any way wrong here, and I would not be surprised if you end up on the right side of this, which means we're going to get a draw in this
cover game. All our bases except for the draw. Exactly.
Yes, this is going to be a draw for sure now. Yeah. But the last game up here on the non-4th of July slate, still four more games to go after that. Charlotte versus the Dynamo. And give me a second to pull up some stats here that I want to see about this game, Taylor. But I'll get to the odds here because we've got the Dynamo plus 104, Charlotte plus 255 on the road, and the draw plus 245. And, you know, I really, really, really want to take a Charlotte road game.
I know. It's
they're 2-7 on the road, and that is not in the win column. 2 draws, 7 losses. This team has not found one of those wins yet, and it's been very bad. They have a game against Austin tonight, so we don't know what their most recent result is going to be. But if you look at some of these, if you look at some of these other games here, call me crazy. The game is shaded to the under, but I'm actually looking at this and I'm saying they play again. They play Austin. We don't know that result, but they've not been shut out since May 14th against Montreal. That's interesting because again, with the game shaded to the under and the fact that Houston could maybe drop it, maybe this is where we get that Charlotte play. I'm going to go both teams to score though, because if this team isn't getting shut out, they're scoring some goals right now. And I still think that Houston probably wins this game. So if I'm taking that logic, I'm going to play both teams to score at minus 122 here.
Charlotte have been a lot more impressive to me when I've watched them than Houston. They still don't have that pizzazz factor, but they are really organized. They play well as a unit. Houston has been arguably the hardest team to cap this year. I mean, they're just all over the place. Typically, you would have had more success fading them than taking them, just, you know, on the whole. You did mention earlier, Tom, like Houston against bad teams at home tends to figure some things out. I don't think Charlotte's necessarily capital B bad, but they are capital B bad on the road, which is the spot here. So that was the first thing I kind of thought about. I hate to end on this before we get to the 4th of July corner, but I just have a full all caps, all bold, no touch on this. Under somewhat intriguing, and then you kind of just maybe are making me rethink it, maybe looking at the both teams to score market. This is one of those where it's like you do not have to bet every game, and I'm not going to in this case. I'm going to stay away.
There you have it. Yep, I don't blame you staying away. I stayed away from the two games before this, though, and I don't know. I just maybe, again, I'm overthinking this one, but this is just where I'm trying to get a little bit creative and find something that I like in this spot that I don't really have too much of a read through the tea leaves on. But let's move on to that 4th of July slate. Those numbers aren't up yet at BetRivers, so we're going to have to look around for a little bit here. And the first game, you know, it's everyone's favorite pastime, Taylor. MLS soccer on the 4th of July. These four games, again, not up on BetRivers yet, but breaking them down here, we're going to start off with Orlando versus DC. And it looks like this line is coming in around Orlando as an expected favorite. They're around even money, minus 110. DC, they are 2.5 to 1 as a road dog to be expected in the draw, plus 260. My notes are one line here: all aboard the fade DC train, especially away from home where they have just one win and one draw. Orlando minus 110. That's all we need. The nation's capital not doing well on 4th of July this year.
Yeah, tough spot there for our nation's capital. I had the same idea and the same thought coming into this, Tom. I'll just get a little bit of devil's advocate stuff out of the way first. You know, Orlando, since beating the Galaxy away in March, these are their wins. Charlotte at home, we mentioned, you know, Charlotte has not done anything on the road yet this year. Certainly have not won yet. They beat Chicago at home. They beat Columbus away. Okay, that's an away win. They beat the Tampa Bay Rowdies at home in the Cup. Beat Philly at home in the Cup. That was before Philly has kind of gotten into this type of funk, but it was still, I still don't think that's a super impressive win. Toronto away and Houston at home. So, you know, this is an Orlando team that hasn't really beaten anyone. The good news for them is they're not playing anyone in this spot, right? DC United is not a particularly good side. In six of their last seven, DC has conceded two or more goals. The defense just seems to get worse and worse every week. For this side, you can't really find much consistent trend data at home or away beyond just fade, fade, fade. And that's what I'm going to do here. You know, in a vacuum, it's not a price I like on an Orlando team that I don't love betting on much this year at all, because they've been hard to figure out as well. You know, four wins, four losses at home, zero draws. That's been the story of them. Like, it's just, it's hard to figure out what they're doing, and they haven't beaten very many good teams. Well, like we say, DC's not one of those good teams. I'm taking Orlando at a slight minus price, minus 110.
Yep. This one just seems like one of those very easy, don't overthink it spots. The next one up is FC Dallas versus Miami. And FC Dallas, around the minus 170 market, Miami 4-1, maybe a little brighter than that. The draw plus 280. And you know what I did while I was making my notes here, Taylor? I looked at a bunch of previous results while I was doing some of these, and I noticed for one team, like, oh, they lost to Inter Miami, that's a bad loss. And then there was another game where I'm looking at teams' records and I go, they lost to Inter Miami, that's a bad loss. And then there's another one where I'm like, they lost to Inter Miami, and all of a sudden I'm sitting there going, wait a second. Inter Miami's kind of winning games right now. And I think that we're missing out on this year. Their last six overall, they're unbeaten in five of six. At home, they have four wins and a draw in their last five, but they're on the road here in this spot with Dallas, who has been very good at home. Call me crazy, though, I don't think they should be 4-1. I have to take the price.
I don't hate it at all. And I say that as a real Dallas backer this year. I'm reading this game differently than you, but you make a good point in Inter Miami, because we haven't really given them the spotlight that they probably deserve at this point on the show. You know, they went out the gate terribly. It was, as I pull up the number, five in a row winless to start out the season, including, you know, getting drubbed at Austin before we knew Austin was good, and a couple of other results that were really eyebrow raising. Phil Neville benched Higuain, and they've kind of fixed it since. I don't know if that's an oversimplification of what's happened, but that's certainly part of it.
It's not quite an oversimplification of it, because the very big thing is they stopped playing Higuain. They stopped playing the old guys that they had brought in for big money and started playing a lot of younger talent, and they instantly improved.
Yep. Yeah. And like you say, I mean, this stretch has been really, really solid for them. I'm not going to take a side, though. I already have a couple of those big road dogs this week. I fully agree the price is wrong there, completely wrong. It's a Dallas team that has started to show some holes, especially defensively. I still really love Dallas as a team that scores goals at home. And so that was my first read on this, like Dallas team goals or just a simple over. In this case, a Dallas team goals bet at over 1.5 is minus 155, and the over 2.5 is minus 130. So I'm going to give myself the better price there, especially for a Miami team that's figuring some things out and should be able to help on that. Miami's over trend data is not great. Only four of their last 10 have hit over 2.5, but eight of Dallas's last 10 in MLS have gone over 2.5. And typically the home team dictates that kind of thing in these spots for an overplay. So, you know, as someone who's willing to take a lot of over 2.5s in the minus 160s, I'm absolutely taking an over 2.5 at minus 130 here, hoping that Dallas, you know, doesn't lay an egg like they did in that Vancouver game or something like that.
I'm hoping they do lay the egg because I'm going to take the 4-1 price and see what I can get out of it. Third game out of the four, Rapids versus Austin. Again, we don't know what Austin's most recent result is going to be. That game's tonight, but Austin is 3-1 on the road versus the Rapids, who are -130 at home, and the draw around +265. We'll see what those numbers are when Bet Rivers puts them up. But Colorado has slipped as of late. Their home XGA is one of the league's best, but they're not scoring a ton of goals. This Austin offense has been fun to watch and can put up goals, and Colorado has conceded 3 goals apiece in 2 of their last 3 games. As long as they keep giving me these road money lines on Austin, I'm going to keep taking them. They're 4-1-3 on the road this season. 4 wins, a draw, and 3 losses. Most of these games, their road price has been greater than 2-1. So you're turning a profit by just blind betting them every week. I don't necessarily recommend doing that, obviously, but I'm taking them on the road here at 3-1. They have a reasonable shot to win this game. I'm going to keep taking that.
Everything, like if you were to tell me before I looked at the numbers and looked a little bit deeper into this, I would have absolutely assumed I'm taking that Austin play. Absolutely assumed it just because the number is wrong, et cetera, et cetera. I think there's a little bit overreaction. Like, I'm not necessarily sold that Colorado is actually now a bad home team. I still think they're one of the best home teams in the league, or at least they could be. We had such a big piece of sample size data to go off of so far this year, and then they got drubbed 3-1 by Nashville. That was back in May. They haven't played at home since. There was that weird, like, 2-week spot, and then they've been on the road. I don't think Colorado is great. I think they're actually pretty pedestrian, but something happens there at home. I mean, they're still the 5th best home team in the league, 5 wins, 2 draws in that Nashville loss. I think Nashville's pretty good. I'm going to extrapolate that. Like, I don't want to just completely focus on that. I also, like, when you look at the types of games that when things go wrong for Austin, because this is still a work in progress a little bit, it's a team that's very, very exciting. I love that front four. But when things do go wrong for them, because you mentioned the Rapids are slipping, I think Austin has slipped a tiny bit as well in recent weeks as the schedule has heated up. It's usually because they're passing the ball around a ton without much purpose. That's how they lost to RSL. That's how they lost to the Galaxy. The Rapids kind of love that. They beat LAFC and the Sounders in their last 2 home wins. Those are their 2 most recent home wins, Tom. I know they were like 6 weeks ago, but LAFC and the Sounders were their 2 most recent home wins. Those are very impressive results. They did both of those with 40% or less of the ball. The inverse, the converse of that is basically true for Austin. When things go wrong, they usually have like 58, 60% of the ball. I'm going to go off of that. I'm going to try to look into those numbers, think that Colorado is still pretty hard to beat at home. I don't like laying -130 for a team that in a vacuum, I don't love the Rapids, but that's exactly what I'm doing here. Our first full opposite side situation of the week. I can understand you working the unit management part of this. You're absolutely true in the macro. If you've done this for Austin every week, you'd be a very, very rich person, depending on your unit size, of course. But I'm going to go Colorado. I can't believe I'm saying this because when I first looked at the slot, I thought this was a great situation for all. Even when I looked at the lines, I thought, wow, yeah, I mean, come on. You got to take that kind of value on Austin. But it just feels like an over-adjustment. We really don't know enough about Colorado slipping at home yet. Like, it was that one result. Other than that, they've been really hard to beat at home for basically more than a year. So Colorado -130. I can't believe I'm saying it, Tom.
You know, I think as fair as that is, like, again, it's the full disagreement, but I see where you're coming from. I don't have any beef with the process that got you where you are, but I look at these last 5 actual results for Colorado. And yes, there were a bunch of them on the road, but you lose 3-0 to the Timbers. Not great. You tie New York City 1-1. Yeah, not bad. That's a quality road draw. You lose the Nashville game at home, and you beat the Sounders 1-0, and then you lose to Sporting Kansas City on the road. Like you said, the game after that is the LAFC game. I don't know. I don't know. I might just be rambling here and not being able to really pull anything out of these results, but I think their recent form isn't very inspiring to me. So that's why I'm going to stick with Austin here. But our last game up, we've got the Galaxy versus Montreal. And what should really actually be a pretty good game here. Montreal 3-1 on the road. LA -135 as the home favorite in the draw +280. Very similar lines to that Austin game. Montreal got a big road win in Seattle in the midweek while LA lost to Minnesota. And while Montreal's away record hasn't been stellar, their marquee wins kind of are. It's FC Cincinnati, New York Red Bulls, and this Seattle game. LA's been fading lately. I lean Montreal 3-1. It's not a full play. It's a lean, but for sure, over 2.5 minus 160. That is my play in this game for sure.
From full disagreement to full agreement, I also am thinking about that 3-1. I think there's a lot of value there for a Montreal team that keeps just proving the haters wrong, really, kind of time and time again this season. I think LA's attack has gotten more cohesive to me as the season's gone on, as they've taken reliance away from Chicharito a little bit. But it seems like everything else, the discipline, the defense, I mean, that midweek game was ridiculous, has kind of been moving the other direction. And they can be a little bit hard to cap week to week. I'm only going to go over 2.5 as far as my official play here. It's minus 160. Again, these kinds of plays are reasonable in MLS. Don't, you know, take your other league's hat off when you don't want to take a minus 160 over 2.5. So, Montreal also, by the way, most away goals in the league, Tom. And I don't think they'll shut LA out either. So the over is very reliable here.
Yep. All right, well, Taylor, that's going to do it for us here. Do you have any favorite play you want to give out?
You go first. I can find something.
All right. Maybe I'm being too aggressive. I'm going to give out that Seattle SGP. Seattle plus 135 in the over 2.5 at minus 167. We're still on the fade Toronto train. I'll take that as my most confident play. Granted, my last most confident play was Philly, but hey, I think Seattle bounces back here. Let's take them in the spot.
I'm going over 2.75 in that NYCFC Atlanta game. It's just over 2.5 is basically what Atlanta does at this point. If it goes at 3 exactly, I wouldn't be surprised if you don't get all of your money on that, but you're still ending up on the green on that kind of play, and you're getting a better price at minus 129. So over 2.75 NYCFC Atlanta United, Tom.
All right. Well, there you have it, Taylor. It has been a pleasure riding along with you. Glad to have you back here, guys. We will be back next week as usual. Enjoy your 4th of July. Don't forget, head on over to betrivers.com. Huge shout out to our sponsor. Be sure to sign up for an account today. Get in on the action. Use that code 250MATCH, and they will match your first deposit up to $250. Guys, let's cash some tickets this weekend. As always, find me on Twitter at TV at work. Find Taylor at ATLT Will. Let's make some money this 4th of July weekend, and God bless America. Have a good day, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Betting Weekly Major League Soccer on the Bet Rivers Network.